Though the subject's coming late, it's about Mary Magdalene. And I've enjoyed this study tremendously. Not only just my portion, but the other that have brought their subjects out as well. And the first half of the Bible studies, you well know, is women of faith. And I want to look at that just for a second. And I know the second half is going to be, they're going to be speaking about different types of faith. But, you know, there's just two quick things about faith, a Bible verse and a definition that I have down in my outline. And I'll make copies. I didn't have time to make copies tonight, but I'll bring them back in January for anybody that might like to have one to go along with their MP3s or CDs or whatever. But the verse I have is in Hebrews, 11th chapter, and the 6th verse. And it's very familiar. Most of you probably could quote that right now without me reading it to you. But it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And I want you to keep in mind that verse tonight, because not only Mary, but the other women that have been talked about and other women in my life have had this kind of faith. And I just thought this subject to be very interesting to me, not being raised as a Baptist. Someone that had faith brought the gospel to me. Someone. So as I read her and studied her, what if we wouldn't have had these women that we've studied in the scriptures that had this kind of faith? Because I believe they pleased God. They had faith. They believed in the Lord. The definition I took from the Webster's, the old dictionary, and I really liked it. It just hit home on faith itself. And it reads this way: faith is a firm, heartfelt, sincere belief in the veracity of God, in all the declarations of His Word, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because He has declared them. I like that. A heartfelt, sincere belief in the veracity of God. Believing, and I believe the Mary that I'm speaking of tonight, believed God, had faith in God, was healed by God, and she trusted the Lord with everything. Friends, this is the type of faith that we need in our churches today. God hasn't changed, so why have we changed? When we read about these, what if we wouldn't have had these forefathers and four women who came before us believing and trusting God with their lives? Where would we have a Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church? Would we have a Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church? I don't know, brethren, but I'm so thankful tonight for these that have gone, that have come before us and exhibited a faith like that they have. A heartfelt, sincere belief. Not only the things about what God said, but that He said them, that He said to do them. I rejoiced when I read the dictionary, because that's the type of faith that's in my heart and my soul. That's the type of faith that God gave me when He saved me and separated me. I'm so thankful for that. So with these verses and Webster's definition, I want to say that the women that we have learned about in this winter Bible study, and a few women in my life, have had at least this one great quality. We can learn from those of the past as well as those as the many women in our churches today that hold on to this kind of faith. I want to thank God for them all. If you've had women of this kind in your life, God has truly blessed you. God has truly blessed our churches, my friends. I don't know if you've ever studied a lot of history, you'll find there's women involved in the history of the Baptist people. There's women that have had this type of faith. And they had sisters to look at in the Bible to study from. The little maid, Ruth, Hannah, Mary, the woman at the well, Esther, Elizabeth, Mary Magdalene, and other women of the Bible had this kind of faith. They believed without a doubt in the Lord. and they would follow him in any direction that he would have led them. I believe that tonight, reading the Bible, seeing about these and hearing about these women, I believe they would have followed the Lord and listened to God. Wherever that he would have sent them, they would have gone. Friends, well, this is the faith that I want us to see tonight in these women and the woman that I have specifically been called upon to teach about. I want you to look at that and see her life and just maybe, my friends, emulate that kind of faith. What kind of churches could we have today? What kind of revivals could we have today if we had this kind of faith? They believed without a doubt in the Lord and would follow him in any direction that he would have led them. That kind of faith takes much prayer. First of all, it takes much prayer and study on the things of things God teaches. Let us all thank God for these women. I've had several in my own life, my wife including, and I'm so grateful and thankful that I have these to look at. And I've had those that have come and helped me many, many times. Mary is an English form of a Hebrew proper name, which means rebellion. I don't know if you knew that or not, but and I thought it funny here we talk about a woman of faith, and Mary means rebellion. And the name Mary is found applied to six different women mentioned in the New Testament. First, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, Mary, the sister of the Lord's mother and wife to Cleophas or Alphaeus, Mary, the mother of John, surnamed Mark, and Mary, a Christian woman of Rome, mentioned by Apostle Paul. And thus includes the Marys of the Bible. Now, Mary Magdalene has been very much wronged by commentators and the world in general as having been supposed to have been a woman of depraved character. There's been more outside of the Bible written on this woman and her character and the things that she did. So supposedly, there's just volumes been written. And most of them that I've seen and looked a little bit, they're not worth the paper that they're written on. Their suppositions and their beliefs. You know what? I'm thankful we have the Bible. I'm thankful that we have the truth of God's word. You got to remember, God moved men of old to write the scriptures. They are true. And we can learn the little bit of what God wants us to know about these women. Mary Magdalene, we can learn it from the word of God, from the scriptures themselves. Now, she is commonly thought of as to have been a prostitute before she got saved and healed by Jesus Christ. So historians and painters have represented her this way through the years. Even today, the word Magdalene is synonymous with fallen women. But no place in the Bible can you bear this out. We must be careful where we get our information. Brother, you got to be careful where you gather your information because you heard somebody say it, or if you've heard, read it in some. I even had someone tell me one time. Well, it was in on the computer. Well, you can find anything you want on the internet this day in this age. You've got to know where your information is coming from. Historians and commentators. I'm lumping them all the same. Historians and commentators should be taken with a grain of salt. There are always those who would revise history to fit some view or another. So what do we really have? Now, I'm not saying there's not any good histories. I'm not saying that there's not any good commentaries. I'm just saying you've got to be careful how that you come by your deductions and your beliefs, my friend, if you're using things outside of the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. It's the truth of God's word. It will stand when the world is on fire. So that's where I want to get my information tonight and some other places. But you need to look at it in a different light when you're studying things and when you go to try to find things out. I was just amazed when I punched in her name and the different sites and the different information that came up. It was mind-boggling. And as I read down through some of them, I thought, this stuff isn't... How do they know this? How do they even think these things? And so you got to be very, very careful. Now, I found a book, and I recommend it to you. It's called, and some of you may have read it, 12 Extraordinary Women by John MacArthur. And I took some quotes from there because I enjoyed what he wrote about the women. And so it's a good book. Go out and get it if you want and read it. But there again, look at it, take it with a grain of salt, see what the scriptures say. In the book, 12 Extraordinary Women by John MacArthur, he writes, Mary Magdalene had been the subject of a lot of extra-biblical mythology since medieval times. During the early and Middle Ages, some of the Gnostic heresies virtually co-opted the character of Mary Magdalene and attached her name to a plethora of fanciful legends. Apocryphal books were written about her, including one purporting to be Mary Magdalene's account of the life of Christ. The Gospel of Mary, another, the Gnostic Gospel of Philip, portrayed her as an adversary to Peter. In recent times, the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown adapted several long-forgotten Gnostic legends about Mary Magdalene and wove them into an elaborate conspiracy theory that included the blasphemous suggestion that Jesus and Mary were married and even had secretly had children. Now, I put in quotes in my outline. It says, in brackets, let us take what the Bible says over what others say. Gnostic, and I want to give you just kind of a sidebar there of a definition of Gnostics. The Gnostics were a sect of philosophers that arose in the first ages of Christianity. They had Christian beliefs and they had philosophical Oriental backgrounds, and they were a bunch of philosophers and who chose Mary and wrote things about her that just they weren't true. You can't back them up with the scriptures. And you can study more on them, but I don't want to get diverted. They were just the philosophy. But they've been around a long time, and still, even to this day, as I said, people are bringing things up about Mary Magdalene and trying to revive some of these old legends, and that's what they are, just hearsay. John MacArthur wrote, Mary Magdalene did have a dark past. Nothing that indicated that her conduct was ever lewd or sordid in any way that would justify the common association of her name with the sin of immorality. Now, what the Bible says about her is enough. We do not have to make things up about her at all. It's a blessing. It was a blessing to me, friends, when I began to read the few places in the Bible that her name was mentioned, the things that were done for her, how she conducted her life, how that she walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need extra writings outside of the scripture to see that this was a good woman, a woman that was saved by the grace of God, a woman that was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, a woman that loved the Lord with all of her heart and all of her soul, like that we all should. She would have been, in my estimation, a good role model for people after that she had gotten saved by God's grace. Mary Magdalene unquestionably got her name from Magdala, the Galilean town from which she came. Magdala is a form of a Hebrew word meaning tower. Magdala was a tiny fishing village on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, 2 or 3 miles southwest of Capernaum, and about 3 miles from the Roman city of Tiberias. So that kind of gives you an area. It's interesting in my study, because we'll go on a little farther, we're going to find Mary had seven demons. She was demonically possessed. We find that in Scripture. That's truth. That's the Bible. This area that she lived in, if you'll study it, a lot of demonic possessions took place in this area for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm just telling you what geographically, I don't have the reason why. It's just a note of trivia for you. They came a lot in this one certain area. It was the hometown of Mary Magdalene, that is Mary of Magdala. And Mary and other women got saved there, were able to help support the Lord and the ministry by their substance. They helped monetarily, I believe, and physically. And we find that in the book of Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter and the second and third verse. So let's see what the Bible says. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And so I take that they had something about them. They weren't just paupers. They were able to take of their own that they had, and they wanted to. And that's important. They wanted to take what they had because I believe they felt in their heart it belonged to the Lord. They wanted to have the Lord's cause helped in any fashion that they possibly could. Scripture says that they helped him, ministered unto him and those that traveled with him by their own substance. So they took of their own what they had materially and physically and helped the ministry of the Lord. So, friends, there's a change that took place in these women, was there not? There was definitely a change when the Lord took these seven evil spirits from her and she began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I think this is an interesting point. If you study about Jesus, they were always trying to trap him, were they not? They were always trying to find something to bring the Lord down with. Whether they were Pharisees or whether they were Sadducees, they were trying to find something to bring the Lord down. They were trying to accuse him falsely, which they eventually did and crucified him. So they thought they took his life, but he gave it freely for all of mankind. They didn't take anything from the Lord. He laid it down freely. But their writings, even in the Bible, we find that they were always trying to find something to bring the Lord down with. So I'm thinking if there was any substance of Mary from Magdalene, if there was any substance of her being a prostitute, her herself following the apostles, following Jesus Christ, we would have seen evidence of them writing about that. That's my own supposition. They would have surely taken that and used it and tried to say, well, you've got these women of ill repute following you, and so why should we listen to you? But we don't see that in Scripture. We don't see them bringing up that point. So there was nothing wrong with these women that followed after the Lord, ministering unto those around them. Whatever, however that took place, whether it was fixing food in some places, being there, being a friend, and praying, and so on and so forth. But these women, according to Scripture, Scripture and Mary Magdalene, we find here, out of whom seven devils went, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna. These women were attached to Herod's court, so they were they had some status about them. They just weren't, like I said, they weren't paupers, and not that it matters, it's just a point that you can glean from the Scripture. The Bible does say Mary Magdalene was healed of seven demons. Now, I don't believe that there was anything the doctors or any of her family could do to help her. She was possessed. Scripture talks about possession in different places. There was the one that was the man that was possessed. He threw himself into the fire. Do you remember that? He was kind of a lunatic. Now, I don't know what manifestations, because the Bible doesn't say what manifestations that these demons took. I can just see others. Legion was one who had many within him, and when the Lord cast them out, they were cast into the swine, and he was a lunatic madman that ran around, and they couldn't even chain him and hold him. And so it doesn't go into great detail other than the Lord healed her of these things and took them from her and changed her life. She was definitely a different person. And I don't think, as I said, that there was anything the doctors or her family could do about these things. There was no earthly remedy for her spiritual afflictions. Jesus Christ delivered her from all the agony and changed her life forever on earth and in eternity. I believe that with all my heart. She just not only was healed, brethren, I believe that her soul was saved in the same manner that ours was saved. And she was changed forever from on this side of eternity as well as when she reached the other side. Her life was changed. She was healed. She was a different person. Mary was forever thankful for what the Savior had done for her. How and when she was delivered is never spelled out for us, but Jesus set her free. She was free indeed, was she not? I'm thankful to God that she could say, and I believe, I'm sure in all my heart, according to the Word of God, she was set free by the Son of God. She was a changed person, and she was, as we all are, and as we should be more often, thankful for that delivery. she had, I believe, much to be thankful for. God did change my life. He saved my soul. To the best of my knowledge, I wasn't possessed by evil demons. But this woman was. I'm not sure of just how it took, how that form took on. But I believe she must have been in agony all the days of her life when she was possessed with these demons. I can't imagine it being any other way because, friends, I know one thing. Satan hates us. He hates God's creation. He hates the very fact that we can be redeemed and be gathered to God in glory one day after a while, forever giving God glory and honor. I'm thankful that I can. I'm changed. We hear songs sometimes, and I'm getting sidetracked a little bit, but that's okay. You know, about angels and this and that, and surely they must have wanted this one because God needed an angel. I have never been an angel. You can laugh at that, but I've never been one, and you know what? I never will be. I'm a redeemed, redeemed by the grace of God. The angels don't have that, friends. And Mary, I know, believed with all her heart, and she was so thankful to God. You know, at that point when her life was and she was set free, she became the servant of righteousness. Romans, the 6th chapter in the 18th verse says, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. And that's what Mary did. She became the servant of righteousness. She followed the Lord. She wanted to be with him and minister unto him and help the cause with her earthly goods, with her mind and her heart. I believe that she desired to follow Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what she did, friends. If you'll follow the Lord from Jerusalem and all his journeys in the different cities, they were there. They followed him through thick and thin. After her deliverance from sin, she joined the close circle of disciples who traveled with Jesus on his long journeys. She had left her home and family to follow and help the Lord. I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about a woman that 7 demons and she was healed of, left her family, left her home, friends, and gave it all up for God. We don't hear about these things in this day and age that we live in. That faith seems to be coming fewer and farther between, brethren, and it doesn't have to be because God's not changed. The mission's still the same. Go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always until the end. Always. He'll be there. She left her home, her family to follow and help the Lord. She followed the Lord right to the end, even to the cross. She was present. She was there. There, Mary and the other women stayed and watched as they brutally crucified our Lord and Savior. I believe there were others there that did not stay around the whole time as these women did. They were even close enough at one point, friends, to hear what Jesus said from the cross about his mother and seeing that she was taken care of. They were there. Another account in the Gospels puts them a little farther off, but they were still at Golgotha. They did not leave. The whole time that he was agonizing upon the cross of Calvary, these women were there. Mary of Magdalene, Mary who had been healed of 7 demons, stayed there. She had followed the Lord. She had become the servant of righteousness, and she was going right to the end. I can't imagine what was going in her heart at the time as he was brutalized and he was whipped and he was spat upon and they gambled for his robes, friends. He was compelled to walk to Golgotha's hill, and here was her Savior, the one that had redeemed her and set her free. She stayed when others, I believe, probably left. Even after that, they had taken him down from the cross. This is just a you can read a lot in what the scriptures say here. And they watched as they took the Lord down from the cross. Even after they'd taken him down from the cross, she followed to see where they would lay her Savior. She didn't want to lose sight of her Jesus. She didn't want to lose sight of the one that had saved her and healed her and changed her life forever. She followed to see where they would take the Lord. It must have broken her heart to see the broken body of the Lord. They had beaten him, as I said, and they had whipped him. And after all these, they compelled him to walk clear to go to Calvary's Hill. It was he, the one who had healed her and saved her. She was determined to wash and anoint his body properly. Now we find in Scripture that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and I don't know if she knew them as far as personally. Now these men, I believe Nicodemus was saved. I believe Joseph of Arimathea was a follower of the Lord because the Bible says, but I don't know if they knew each other. But they went to beg the body of Jesus. We find in the book of John, 19th chapter and 39th verse. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds. And so they begged the body of Jesus. They bought the incense to take care of the body. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spice, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in that garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. And so they hurriedly, these men hurriedly, as men sometimes do, women, we don't do the proper things. We get by and we get it done sometimes. And I believe that these brethren took the body of the Lord, bought the sense and the aloes and the things that they needed, wrapped his body in the linen and laid him in this nearby tomb because of the time was at hand. And here all the time, Mary of Magdalene and others were following him to see where they might lay the Lord. Now they knew, I believe they knew, they at least saw, I don't know, I'm assuming this part, friends, because it doesn't go into detail, but they knew where he was laid. They must have known what was done to his body. And so we find out a little bit later in the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 50th through the 56th verse. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He was in that inner circle. He could do that. And so these two men did these things so that they could have the body of the Lord. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewn in the stone, wherein never man had been laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned. See, that's, they had so much love for the Lord, they wanted to do it the right way. They bought spices of their own. They wanted to anoint the Lord, wrap his body properly. I don't know what was going through their mind other than, I read a great love and a concern. This was her Savior. She wanted to do it right. She wanted to follow him all the way to the very end. And it said, they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So even after the Sabbath, they bought more spices to anoint him. It seemed they could not do enough for the body of the one they truly loved. Mark 16:1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They just couldn't do enough. He had been somewhat properly laid in a tomb by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And anointed to some degree. It must not have been to their likings for the very fact that they went back to do it again and to do it more and probably did it properly. Even though many books and studies have been written on Mary Magdalene, we can only see what the Bible tells us of this very faithful woman who was truly blessed by God. Let us summarize the life of Mary Magdalene according to the Bible. And I believe the Bible will bear out the faith this woman had. First, she was a recipient, we find in Scripture, of a great salvation. all of our salvation. We're recipients if we've been born again by the grace of God. It's all, a wonderful and amazing work. But she seemingly, there's a little more rhetoric about her as far as, she just wasn't just like myself, a lost individual. She had other infirmities of the body. Luke 8th chapter in the 2nd verse. And a certain woman which was healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. So she, first of all, she was, let's summarize, was a recipient of a great salvation. She had that. She was my sister in the Lord. I can say that, and I don't know her. But one day, friends, I'm going to the place that she is now. Because I believe all the saved, all the redeemed are with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I'm going, according to Scripture. Second, she showed her gratitude and faith by ministering to the needs of Jesus, the one who had saved her and healed her. Again, we go back to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke to prove that point. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their own substance. So she showed her faith and her gratitude to the Lord by ministering unto him and seeing that she would be there for the ministry. She wanted it to prosper. She wanted, friends, that message to get out to others. Doesn't sound too much different than us today, does it? Is that not what we desire? Is that not what we should desire? That our message gets out to others? Third, Mary also showed her faith and her gratitude by her presence at the cross. It was a gruesome sight to see the Savior being put to death in such a cruel way and fashion. This was her Lord who had taken 7 demons from her body and changed her life forever. In the book of John, we read in the 19th chapter and the 25th through the 30th verses. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciples took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. They were there, friends. They were there when they falsely accused our Lord, when he went through a mock trial. They were there. They knew that they were enemies of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees as well, but they stayed by the Lord's side all the way to the crucifixion as he hung between the heavens and earth. They were there. They were witnessing all of that. They showed their faith by remaining faithful to the Lord even as he died for them on the cross of Calvary. Knowing possibly that they could have been accused as well and tortured and what have you. I don't believe it mattered to these women. They stayed there by the side of the dying Savior to the very last moment when he gave up the ghost. They were there. She also showed her faith and gratitude by her presence at the sepulcher. Matthew, the 27th chapter, 61st verse says, And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary setting over against the sepulcher. The Lord had died. They went through the crucifixion. 28th chapter, the first verse says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So she showed her faith by not running and hiding. She was not worried that others knew that she came looking for her dead Savior. She came looking for the body of the Lord. She went to the same sepulcher that he had been laid in. So she showed her faith and her gratitude and her love. She had much to be thankful for, did she not? She had much to be thankful for. Mary Magdalene was blessed as no other, the Bible tells us, by the Lord showing himself to her first. Isn't that amazing? She was the very first that the Lord revealed himself unto her as the risen Savior. Mark, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, friends. She was blessed as no other had been in that time. He could have chosen many to do that, but he chose this woman that we know so little bit about her past and so little bit about the time that she walked with the Lord, other than she was faithful to the end. She followed the Lord and she was so grateful and thankful that she had been saved and changed and healed, that she was the very first that the Lord revealed himself to. Mary was also given a wonderful revelation from the Lord. He could have revealed himself to anyone, but he chose her. In the book of John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, 11th through the 18th verses, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And there came also, helps to get on the right page. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. For whatever reason, she didn't recognize the Lord. The Lord hid his identity from her at that point until he spoke her name. Aren't you glad you can hear the Lord speak? My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Oh, I'm glad I know when the Lord talks to me, friend. Don't tell me you're going to be confused when God speaks to your heart, because you won't if you know him, if you've been saved, if you've been changed. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. He revealed himself unto her, my friend. She was a blessed woman. God, I believe, found favor in Mary of Magdalene. And I believe the Lord loved her as he loved the others as well. But for whatever reason, she was a witness. And the Lord revealed himself unto her first and said, Go tell the brethren, which she did. In conclusion, as we look at the life of Mary Magdalene in the Bible, we can see a great faith and love of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She was willing, after Jesus healed her and saved her, to give up her own life and follow and serve the Lord God Almighty all the days of her life. We find she made no excuses. I don't read in one excuse. She didn't look to the mother of Mary and say, This is a dangerous place here at the cross. We should leave here and go somewhere else. No, they stayed there, my friend, all the time that the Lord was dying and agonizing on the cross of Calvary. They would not leave. They went to the sepulchre. They prepared his body, even though it brought danger, I believe, in revealing of whom they were. They were followers of Jesus. They were Jesus' disciples. She left her family and friends all behind to follow the Lord right to the end and beyond. Oh, how that I pray we could grab a hold of that kind of faith like this and serve God today as she did when she walked here on the earth. Oh, what a great faith that she had. She loved the Lord. She trusted the Lord. Friends, if we could only emulate that type of faith And you know what? It's within each and every one of you. I don't know about you. When I was saved, the Lord dwells in my heart. No different than her. And we can have that kind of faith, friends. We can have revivals. We can see the Lord's work being done. God bless you. That's my lesson today.